I think I'm just going to read four poems because I know it's really getting late, kids. This is a poem that appears in Free State Review, and I'm really reading poems that have to do with the idea of freedom, because I was really taken by the title of this journal, thinking back to Rhode Island and Maryland, which were the two states that really began the the tradition of religious tolerance in this country. We wouldn't call it religious tolerance. No, it was sort of like, you know, if you don't believe in, you know, we won't kill you and take away all your property if you don't believe in the Trinity, but we will kill you and take away your property if you don't believe in the divinity of Jesus. Okay, which, you know, so things have gotten a little better. Watch out if you're a Unitarian or a Jew. Okay, so this is the first poem is called Lulu, and it's it's honoring Louise Brooks, the inimitable silent movie star, and the epigraph is by Louise Brooks. If I ever bore you, it will be with a knife. She'd tell anyone. She didn't care much about making films, but she liked to drink and fuck. In another time, could she have been an auteur herself? Could she have put aside the bottle? Hard to find even one photo of her without the glossy bob curling into her cheeks, the silver glitter gowns, coats with furs and feathers, her luminous, insinuating eyes, her ripe, jujube lips. She left Wichita at 15 to be a dancer in New York. By 19, she was an actress, and who else claims to have slept with Chaplin and Garbo, not at the same time. Okay, alone and when not alone. Domination by one man or another, something she couldn't shake from whatever Mr. Flowers, or was it Mr. Feathers, did to her when she was a child. She read Proust and Tolstoy on the set of Lost Silence like American Venus for old stockings. In Beggars for Life, she played a hobo, an abused runaway dressed as a boy, her eyes wet and haunted. In the German film, Pandora's Box, she held nothing back, nothing in the scene with the lesbian countess in the whorehouse, in the last embrace with Jack the Ripper. Then poverty and solitude. Librarians in Rochester, New York would find her pain hobbled, her black hair pulled tightly back, scribbling her version in the margins of biographies, her own hard tack truth. Okay. And then read two other poems. I'll read the poem that was in the Post Gazette. I was so lucky with this poem. I'd started it last year when I was asked to read in Writers in the Garden, and I couldn't get it right. I just couldn't get it. It took me months, and then And then I got it, I think. We'll see. Thinking about Warhol and Stein in a Northside Pittsburgh garden. Do you think Gertrude Stein would have liked this garden? Its cloistered and European vibe? I believe Warhol would have liked the flowers, how the glass glitters and repeats. Stein was born on Beach Avenue, Warhol on the far side of town. No radio, no hot and cold running water. It is said that Warhol was shaped more by Shirley Temple than Jackson Pollock. Stein had no use for Hollywood. She was Rabelaisian in sandals and velvet robes. Her brother Leo called her writing God Almighty rubbish. Gertrude drove her old Ford down the Champs-Élysées, and when she and Alice fled to a little village, the villagers protected them, or, as the mayor later told her, "We knew you were old and would not survive the camps." Warhol was his own do-it-yourself landscape behind wigs of electroplatinum as he exhaled, "I am from nowhere." She, of course, had a passion for sentences. "In my generation, I am the only one." What might she have thought of his turbulence in stillness, the tincture of forbidden, his pentimento of petals? Thank you. I'm going to read two more, and that's it. This is a poem that never, sad to say, this poem never seems to get out of season. Sometimes I read it at Easter. Sometimes I read it when just a bunch of folks are fighting each other again, and you got to wonder, when will this ever end? And I'm really taken with the idea of freedom. We're really lucky to have something called the rule of law here that most of the time we pay some attention to, and that, you know, and that we won't go home to a bombed out apartment building tonight, and there actually is a grocery store. Reading the poems. If someone had read my poem 20 years ago, "From the heart line to fate line, who would have guessed I'd still be living 2,000 miles from the Pacific?" That first snowbound Pittsburgh winter, I read Middlemarch. Even polished the silver, bored until jolted by the murder of Palm, the Swedish premier. The story spread across the New York Times. He wasn't our martyr, but I admired the dead Olaf as I had the selfless Hammarskjöld before. Even then, the news could make me cry. That day, a package arrived from my old peacenik buddy, Mickey. An inflatable 6-foot plastic palm tree. He knew how I missed my old hometown. In the city of angels, they rarely plant palm trees anymore. Too messy, say the city fathers. And who am I to blame them? All those rotting fronds. What does it take to ask forgiveness? To shrug our shoulders, stand helpless and contrite, turning up our palms to say, "We meant no harm." I think of Baghdad, Gaza, and Kabul, and wonder, where are the peacemakers? You there. If you find them, send them. Send them soon. Let us line their path with our garments, with sago, fishtails, and phoenix. Every kind of palm. And I wish for everybody everywhere the kind of respite that sometimes we have in our lives, where there's actually a break from all the really terrible things that can happen, we know it can happen, or have happened already. One day I will live in a house of pianos. Someone will be playing a violin. I will rise at any hour, although I do that already. And no one will cover my mouth with cellophane. In my blue-gray house, hovering on three breasts of canyon wall above the sea of mindfulness, above the lagoon of contemplation, I will be a rumpled balabusta in turquoise skirts, cooking feasts and laughing through the beveled glass of remembrance. I will take in wild dogs and train them, but only somewhat, and wild children, teaching them as Lao Tzu taught. And we should remember that Lao Tzu, a tree that cannot bend will crack in the wind. And not to tear at each other over a random word or 5 cents. I will bury the dragonfly in their cradled hands that they may know its jade body, the tail of shrimp shells and 2 enormous eyes. And I will gather black figs and succulent persimmon until vases float with sea glass and chrysanthemums. Bookcases will blossom with Borges, Lippo, Neruda, and no one will blind me with flattery or duct tape. I'll say goodbye to the rivers of emptiness. We need to say goodbye to the rivers of emptiness, the plains of desperation, the straits of attachment, and you will know me by my nilly-willy smile and my purple hair. Thank you.